This is Underground Film Review at podcastfilmreview.com. I'm Colin Gilbert, and today I'm going to talk about movies. More specifically, I'm going to talk about the top 10 sexiest movies on Netflix, which I hadn't been podcasting in a while, but my brother and I hadn't been podcasting in a while, and I decided to make the list just because it was such a hit. I get, 50,000 views every couple weeks for the article, so I decided to might as well make a podcast about it. So here we go. I'm going to do the top 10 sexiest movies on Netflix, then I'm going to move over to a little talking about what movies to watch on Netflix streaming, then I'm going to talk briefly about Hunger Games and some news, and I'm going to leave it off. I'm going to end it like I always do with the DVD pick of the week. Number 10 on the list of sexiest movies on Netflix streaming at the moment is Damage, which is a really, really sexy movie directed by Louis Malle, I think his name is. I can't really pronounce it the right way. And it stars Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche back when they used to be kind of, A-listers. Not that they're really anymore, but I don't even know. I haven't seen a Jeremy Irons. I think Jeremy Irons is more into plays now, and Juliette Binoche was big with the Czech movies, the three-color movies. I think she was in Blue, and that movie's awesome. And then she was in English Patient, but then she was kind of disappeared. I haven't really seen her in anything interesting, but anyway, I digress. Number 9 is Y Tu Mamá También, which is, I always talk about. It's my favorite movie. I'm kind of weaned off of it being my favorite movie. I think probably 2001 Space Odyssey is moving into being my favorite. I don't know why. It's Kubrick. He's a fucking animal. He's infectious. And, I don't know, maybe he still is. I haven't watched it in a while, but I think Atonement or Closer is getting pretty close too. Y Tu Mamá También is a super sexy movie. I think it's a great date movie. There is a particular scene at the end which kind of turns people off about it, but turns most, chest banging douchebags off about it, but I still think it's a pretty good watch. It's directed by one of my heroes too, Alfonso Cuarón. Number 8 is Dogtooth, which is another amazing movie, which I don't think too many people have seen, just because it's foreign, and a lot of people don't like watching foreign movies, and it's just fucking crazy weird. It's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, and it did pretty well. It got nominated for an Oscar, which is surprising considering the material, which is it's a few teenagers, the children of two kind of evil parents who keep their children locked up and teach them weird references and lie about what's happening in the real world. So they use words incorrectly, but it's borderline pornographic. There's a few scenes in it that I couldn't believe were in a movie that was nominated for an Oscar. So if you're looking for an excuse to watch something sexy with your girlfriend, boyfriend, partner, whatever, this is a good place to start. And you get to be an art house douchebag, so, you get that plus. Here's the section I call We Just Watch This on Netflix Streaming. I always write this on my website, podcastfilmreview.com. It's where I just review quickly a movie on Netflix streaming. I really try to get people to watch because Netflix streaming is just fucking crazy. It has opened up movies to everybody. And I don't know how I saw this movie. I don't know why. But I came across it, a movie called This Is England, directed by Shane Meadows. And it was just amazing. It was phenomenal. I recommend it to anybody. I always say that Kez by, I think, Ken Loach is one of the better movies to come out of England from probably the 60s to 90s, not including Kubrick, because he doesn't count. And this is kind of their next new wave, this guy. I mean, there's others. There's obviously exceptions. I'm talking about the blue-collar, from-the-ground Loach-type style, which is you take non-actors and you make them actors. There's another movie, what's it called, where the woman dancer, I think it's Fish something? Oh, Fish Tank. Fish Tank is another movie. I'm pretty sure that's on Netflix streaming too. I'd say Fish Tank is the 400 Blows comparison, when This Is England is the Kaz comparison. I don't know why, but Fish Tank is another movie you should check out. But This Is England, Shane Meadows is a fucking genius. And I think in time, people are really going to come around to recognizing him as a genius. The This Is England's about a little boy who wasn't really fitting in school, and he meets a bunch of skinheads in the 80s, and they accept him. And it's not so much about the skinhead mentality, more taking kind of a snapshot of the blue-collar mentality of the mid-80s when they were in the Falkland Wars. And the kid in it is, I think, Thomas Turgoos is his name, and he's a fucking genius. And Shane Meadows made a couple more movies with him, and I hope he makes the transition to being a star, or at least a character actor when he's older, because he's amazing. Number 7 on my top 10 sexiest movies on Netflix streaming is Lust Caution by the great Ang Lee. It is kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say a disappointing movie. There are people think it's really disappointing because it's kind of long, but for some reason I just love it. It's patient. It's certainly sexy, and it's kind of mysterious in the way that for some reason Ang Lee decides to take so long to get to his point, which is I mean, I won't tell you exactly what his point is, because it's kind of, you know, it's one of those artistic opinions, but the ending is what's really special to me. When Tony Leung Chiu Y is sitting alone on the bed, and I won't tell you why he's sitting because I don't want to spoil it, but it's one of those stark, cold, just amazing moments. And the sex scenes are just so fucking awesome and crazy, and it's definitely one of those things that you'll be banging or masturbating by the end, so check this one out. Number 6 is Body of Evidence, which is a bad movie, but it's sexy. Madonna is in it. She's naked. It's one of those crappy, like, Basic Instinct type movies that tries to be, like, a mysterious film noir, but ends up just being... It's like Showgirls. Like, it tries to be cool, but it's not. And, that makes it almost cool, I guess, but check out Body of Evidence. It's bad, but it's super sexy. It's more of like a Showtime special than a legitimate movie. Number 5 is Original Sin, which is another movie kind of like Body of Evidence, where it's, I don't particularly think it's that great, but it's super, super awesome to watch. Because Angelina Jolie is in it, and she's fucking naked, and she fake bangs Antonio Banderas in one of the better sex scenes ever made. And it's one of the, it's like, I watched Basic Instinct like 50,000 times when I was young, but I never understood the plot, because I was always just fast forwarding the sex scenes. This is kind of that, like that movie when I was young, where you just like pounded furiously out a load instead of watching the actual plot. And I wouldn't recommend this for a date either, because your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever will just be like, this movie's fucking stupid, why did you ruin my life with it? But still, if you want to see a few awesome sex scenes, check out this one, Original Sin. Number four is Nine Songs, which is another one that is... It's one of those movies that sounds like a good movie when you hear the plot, but it's not. It's about a couple who has sexual encounters after watching a band a bunch of times. I mean, that doesn't even sound cool. It's a bad movie, I guess, but it is pornographic. It has actual sex scenes. It's with Keanu, with it has actual sex scenes with Margot Stilley, and she's super hot. She's a sexy babe, and she gets naked. She actually bangs in it, and it's one of those cool things where you can watch porno, and you'll be like, "Oh, it's an art house movie," but it's really just, you know, porno. And it is art. It is, but it's bad. It's not necessarily that good. The sex scenes are interesting in the sense that in a lot of like porno, people are screaming, and it's so fake and so contrived. And in other movies, like Original Sin, like I just mentioned, it's perfect, where it's over-romanticized, the sexual encounters. Nine Songs is kind of a great movie in the sense that just the sex scenes are fascinating because you actually get to watch people having sex. It's like when you watch an amateur porno where everyone's really quiet and they're thinking about it. They're just thinking about sex, and they're thinking about getting down. They're not really considering, you know, oh, love. It's focused. It's quiet. You know, it's sex. Now I'm going to talk a second about Hunger Games, which is a movie I was kind of against at first because, A, I read the book, and I thought the book was for children, which it is. It's for kids. It's kind of like The Giver, in the sense that it's a good it's a good book for 12 and 13 year olds who want to step into something more for adults. I don't know what the next step would be in a series of like a Hunger Games. I guess it would be a bigger step into better science fiction, like Dune, or I can't really compare anything. Because I think a lot of the other novels that people think are, you know, good are not, that like nerds think are dope, it's not. But I guess a Dune would be a good start. Even that's kind of that's even advanced for people who like science fiction. But anyway, I digress. My point is, I was kind of hesitant in my opinion of Hunger Games was. And I'd seen the director, and I wasn't really enthusiastic about the director either. Gary Ross, like, who the fuck is that? And he directed... I was pretty into Pleasantville, which I'm pretty sure he made. And Seabiscuit I liked, but I didn't really see it translating well to Hunger Games. And on top of that, another reason I was really excited about it was I love Battle Royale. It's like one of those movies I just hallucinate about and fantasize about being the person who thought of that idea first. And Hunger Games and Battle Royale aren't particularly original, but Battle Royale took it to a totally different level. And Battle Royale was a book too. Quentin Tarantino named it as one of his favorite movies since he started making movies, and it's so true. It's just so effing good. And I kind of took it as a ripoff, but it's not, and I feel bad about saying that now because Hunger Games is so original, the movie is at least. And it, like I said, it's kind of for kids. But with all that said, Hunger Games is good. It's a good movie. I liked it. It's slow. They take too much time in a lot of the scenes, and Gary Ross is bad at directing action. He's another shaky cam douchebag, which I think shaky cam... Who is it who was just talking about shaky... Ah, I can't remember his name. The Indian guy who directed The Immortals was just talking specifically about shaky cam and how it's essentially ruining action movies. And I could not agree more. Like, I like shaky cam, and it has its place, but it's in a way to instill suspense in a scene when it you should be doing it through composition, characterization. And that's not like a douchebag academic thing to say. It's true. It's, I can't fucking stand. Like, green grass, shaky cam, perfect. You don't just use shaky cam to make things look naturalistic and to make things look chaotic. It's fucking stupid. Another thing is Jennifer Lawrence. She's fucking hot. And the scene she's in, she does well. And the atmosphere, just seeing the futuristic, apocalyptic world that they live in Hunger Games is another cool thing that I just fucking enjoyed. And I hate to admit it, it was a good movie. I would, if I was to give it a rating, I would probably give it a B. I wouldn't give it an A. It's not that good. It's not a movie I'm gonna fucking buy the DVD or anything about, but it was good. And people should go see it if you're one of those, you know, if you're sticking your nose up at it and you think you're gonna stay true to your roots like it's a Twilight. It's not a Twilight. It's good. Some quick news. I always do a little news, and I pick out one story that I think is of particular interest. The Mummy, I'm reading this on Variety, the Variety website. The Mummy franchise is getting rebooted again. And I say this once with, I say this with, you know, excitement, because I fucking love the, I don't like the old Mummy. By the old Mummy, I mean the, was it the Hammer versions? But I so dig the Rachel Weisz new version that came out in the late 90s. I fucking love those movies, and I get the Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz ones. I get a lot of shit for it, but they're coming out with a new one. It's getting written by the guy who did Prometheus, who wrote Prometheus, John Spates, or Spites, I don't know his fucking name off the top of my head, but yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about that. I know there's going to be a lot of naysayers who think it's just Hollywood rehashing old shit, but but I think with, like, the Marvel stuff, that they sign contracts where they own the intellectual property as long as they keep on making movies in a certain time frame. That's why I think, I don't quote me on this, I've heard it somewhere that if, like, with the Spider-Man movies, like, if they stopped making Spider-Man movies for a certain period of time, those rights would recycle back to the previous owner or whoever has the rights to it before. So a lot of people are crying, you know, oh my god, you know, fucking, they're screwing Sam Raimi's legacy and Tobey Maguire's legacy. But I think it really comes down to, they just want to keep their movies, and they know it's going to make a lot of money, so why not go and rehash the whole thing? So I'm kind of behind them in that way. And you can never have a bad Mummy movie. Like, even the third one, which was totally fucking stupid, was awesome, and I went and saw it in the theater. So as long as they stick with the original premise, and don't, by original premise, I mean the Brendan Fraser original premise, which they're adventure movies. They're not horror, bad horror movies from the, a lot of people are going to crucify me for saying that, but I'm not into the old MGM horror movies. But as long as they stick with the adventure premise of it, I think the movies will be great. And I just have a feeling they might not do that. But if they do, I'm down. I'm down, Charlie Brown. Number three on my sexiest movies on Netflix streaming right now is Brown Bunny, which is Vincent Gallo's interesting but boring independent movie starring Chloe Sevigny or Vaney. It's a good movie. It captures a kind of lonely state which a lot of movies try but can't because they can't afford to not entertain an audience, because creating a atmosphere of alienation and shame is very difficult while creating an atmosphere that's entertaining as well. And I think the new movie Shame did it well while still being entertaining, but The Brown Bunny is kind of boring but captures it in such a great way. Lost in Translation is another way that movie that captures it, but they're all different, that captures it well. And I'm sure you've heard of this movie already. Savini blows Vincent Gallo for real, sucks his dick, and you can check the scene out on Netflix right now. It's porno. I'm sure it's not technically porno, but it's explicit, as they say, and you can watch the whole movie or you can go to YouPorn and check it out. Either way, it's a great scene. The movie is also entertaining in its own way. Vincent Gallo's movies are always okay. I love Buffalo 66 for some reason, and he's always managed to entertain me somehow. I don't know how he does it, but Buffalo 66 is also kind of relevant because I grew up in the area. But anyway, number two on my list. Number two is Intimacy, which I guarantee no one has ever heard of. And if you have, you kind of already, there's no point in me even telling you to watch it because you've already seen it. But nonetheless, hopefully someone will listen to this and check it out. This is a movie that is downright French. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's so French in the sense that it's about failed musicians who meet up and have sexual encounters. It's very meet up cutish, and there's explicit sex scenes that I'm sure this is the type of movie you could watch with your girlfriend or boyfriend and it would lead to sex. It's one of those sexy movies. It's romantic in its own way. And it's not like nine songs in the sense that it just comes off as a hackish movie with explicit sex in it, that the sex is kind of all they had. But the director's got talent and he's entertaining. And he films with style and grace, and it wouldn't come off as just a really dirty movie. It's a good, very art house, I suppose is the way to say it. And the lead actress, Carrie Fox, is hot. And she blows a dude. It's a really hot scene. And now for my DVD pick of the week, which I'm kind of hesitant to say is kind of lame, but I want people to see this movie, and I'm really glad that Hunger Games is getting it so much attention, because so many people cry foul in the sense that everyone thinks Hunger Games is copying Battle Royale, but I think everyone should go and check out Battle Royale. It's one of the better action movies of the past 10 years. Every person I show it, it ends up being one of their favorite. And you can watch it on Amazon Instant Video for like $2 right now. It's two of the best dollars you'll ever spend. Don't rip it off. Don't steal it like an asshole. Fucking buy it for, you know, $8 or whatever on a DVD, or watch it on Amazon Instant Video. Do one or the other. Don't steal it. It's a fucking awesome movie. It deserves the attention it's getting finally. It's always gotten a lot of attention, especially when Tarantino plugged it, but it deserves the attention it's getting. So go see it. You will never regret it. It has a amazing cameo by one of my favorite directors, Takashi Kitano. Beat Kitano for, you know, you hardcores out there, but Number one on my list of sexiest movies on Netflix streaming is Last Tango in Paris, which I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you're a douchebag. You know, everyone says that, but I used to feel the same way. I totally agree with you. It sounds like a douchebaggy choice, but I ended up thinking this movie is just so goddamn sexy, not even for the nudity. And for the people who don't know, it's a movie about two people who meet up in an apartment in Paris and have a sexual relationship, and they don't want to know each other's name. It's just sex and sex and pillow talk, and it's directed by the same guy who directed The Last Emperor, the huge movie about an emperor, the emperor and the last emperor in China. And it stars, of course, Marlon Brando and the totally, totally hot Maria Schneider, who just recently died, I think. And Schneider was only, like 19 when it happened. Or when the movie happened. And she is just so fucking hot. And some of the best scenes aren't even nudity. Don't even have nudity. I mean, they have nudity in them, but no sex. When Schneider's talking about masturbating with her cousin, oh my god. Seems fucking crazy sexy. And it's another movie that's awesome. You know, a date night, wine, throw on the movie. You're going to bang afterwards. You're going to bang or, you know, you're going to masturbate each other. You know, cunnilingus, abrim, whatever. Whatever you dig. Whatever you like doing, you know, you can watch it alone. And it's on Netflix streaming. You don't have to buy anything. I mean, you have to buy I'm not sponsored by Netflix, by the way, but I just love it that much. But you don't got to buy, you know, a DVD. You don't got to keep anything. You don't got to wait for a DVD. Just throw it on. Sexy night. So thanks for listening. That was my top 10 sexiest movies on Netflix, my Hunger Games review, and my DVD pick of the week. This is Colin Gilbert with podcastformovie.com. Thanks for listening.